For those of you that don't know, Barry's done a great job of making this little addition to the furniture, and it just brings the pulpit up a wee bit, so it's helpful. I appreciate that, Barry. just wanted to start with a bit of an advertisement this morning. You got to have advertisements. This is not a paid-for political thing. We've been asked by the eldership a wee while ago if we would, again, or I would consider taking up a position of just being a prayer facilitator in the church. And it's been on our heart for some time, and we've felt we're quite keen to do that, and not quite sure where we're going to go with it, but quite keen to put our energies to it if we and do what we can for it. One of the things that we want to do is not just multiply a whole lot of prayer around the church, but we want to have kind of prayer that gets people engaged with the Lord. And so when we're at an event or a meeting, we come away feeling that we've actually engaged somehow with the Lord, and that's really important to us. So part of that journey is we felt quite strongly that we work best in a team, and we've asked Warren and Lynette Duncan to join us on the journey, so they're keen to take part of that. So they're joining with us and just sort of thinking and planning and praying and strategizing. But the other really important part of that whole journey is that we really believe that in the body of Christ there's dreams and visions. There's things that you would long to see happen in the realm of prayer. And we want to hear from you, because oftentimes that's how the Lord speaks, is through the body. So we really want to hear if you've got some ideas or thoughts, no matter how unformed they are, but we're really keen to listen and hear what people are saying, what they're thinking. So if you could just come to us, give us a bell, see us after service or whatever, just let us know what's on your mind or your heart in that realm. Be grateful. Now, on Pentecost Sunday, which is May the 15th, we're going to start with a celebrations time together. And during that time, we're going to have special time of celebration. We're going to have corporate praise, and then we're going to be praying for our nation, our church, that kind of thing. But we're going to be doing it corporately, which is quite different than what we've been doing. But we'll be doing other things as well. We'll also be having a time of prayer where we pray for people to be filled with the Spirit, people to be anointed afresh. The harvest field is great, and we really need to know God's anointing for the harvest field. So we're going to have time we can pray for people. But the most special thing for me in that is that Sam and the Cambodian church are going to join us. And the reason that that's special is, of course, Sam is very special, and Nemo, but also because on the day of Pentecost, there wasn't just a bunch of Jews that were there, but there were people from all over, all different ethnicities and places and languages around the known world then were all there on Pentecost. So I think prophetically and spiritually significantly, we're going to be joining with them. So we're going to work with Sam a little bit to try and make it so that it's going to work for us and for them, and we're going to have a good time. So put in your diary, keep in your mind, and on May the 15th, we'll have a good time together, just being with the Lord. Now, what I want to talk about this morning is this. I think it's arguably the most important scripture in the Bible. It will be the most important scripture. If you want to engage with a scripture that will change your life, this will be one of the most important scriptures that you can engage with that will change your life. And to get a handle on this scripture will be to get a handle on the heart of God. And it's found in the book of Mark, chapter 12. And I'll read it to you if you can't read it on your on the screen up there. Mark 12, beginning at verse 28. Mark 12, 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. I want to talk about the first and greatest commandment. And this is not what I said, but it's what Jesus said. So if Jesus said it's the first and greatest, it must be really important. What I want you to know first is that this has to do with not a bunch of rules and regulations, but it has to do with relationship. It has to do with relationship, to love the Lord your God. The most important thing on God's heart for us is relationship. Far more important than anything we will ever do. Far more important than any job we will ever have. Far more important than any person we will ever marry. Far more important than any dream we will ever have. Our relationship with God. First and foremost on God's heart is to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. If we do that, we've won the battle. If we do that, it's all done. If we do that, the second commandment gets fulfilled automatically. Because if we love the Lord, then we'll be doing what He longs for us to do. And I think one of the greatest mistakes that the church has made and does make is this. We put the second commandment first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's never the way the Lord's intended it. As we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, our lives will be changed and transformed from the inside. And then we will be changed and transformed in a way that we will be able to go out and engage the world in a meaningful way, anointed with the Spirit of God and enabled to bring change in our communities. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. I think the other thing that's really important to point out is this, that this commandment has no room for complacency. It has no room for, will I do this, will I not? It's love the Lord with all your heart. Not part of your heart. All your mind, all your soul, all your strength. There's no room for any kind of complacency, no room for any kind of half-heartedness or compromise. It's God, with God, it's all or nothing. And the Lord our God calls us to total and complete and absolute dedication to Him with every fiber of our being. And that's the only thing He knows. But once we're doing that, we know the freedom of God in a new and a fresh way in our life. And we're set free in wonderful, wonderful ways to serve Him. So let me just touch base a little bit on what it means in these different areas. What does it mean to love the Lord with all our heart? See, because I think it's easy to say these kind of words without really thinking about them. Heart, mind, soul, strength, all this kind of stuff. What does it actually mean? It's interesting that Jesus didn't say to love the Lord your God with all with everything you got. He actually told us in different areas that we're to love Him. He segmented it, if you like. Love the Lord with all your heart. That's the center of our life. It's the throne room of our life. It's the place where we will choose to put Him first over absolutely anything and everything else. Over our job, over our plans, over our priorities, over our money, over our dreams, over everything. It's the throne room, the very center of our life. He alone must be our first love. And with God, there's no compromise. Jesus put it this way, and I find this very challenging. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. That's Matthew 6. You can't ride two horses at once. Eventually, one's going to go one way, one's going to go the other. and you're going to be caught in the middle. One of them's going to win. And today, God calls us to choose which one is going to win. In Mark 3, to get just a slightly different focus on that verse, Jesus said this, Mark 3:24. He appointed 12. No problem with that. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. Their primary calling was not to go and preach. Their primary calling was to be with Jesus. Their primary calling was relationship. Their primary calling was not ministry. Their primary calling was love the Lord with all your heart. That was their primary calling. And only when they did that, then he said, love the Lord with all your, he appointed to 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Notice the way the progression went. It's relationship and then ministry. And I think it's sad when we get one before the other. We get the cart before the horse. And it doesn't work. It leads to a liberal church. It leads to an impotent church. It leads to impotent lives when we get the cart before the horse. If you want to put it another way for a slightly different focus, in John 15, Jesus put it another way. Oh, this is what I like about Scripture. God says a whole lot of things in different ways, and it just gives us a different focus. John 15:5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, that is, if you have continued to have fellowship with me, and you're closely related to me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I just want to pause here and say this, that God's purpose for your life, God's purpose for my life, God's purpose for this church is to bear much fruit. That is God's purpose. That is God's plan. That is the very center of the heart of God for you and for me, for all of us, is to bear much fruit. Now, you can debate all you want what that fruit's going to be. But I just want to say it's fruit, okay? That'll be engagement with the lives of other people will bring results, will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We can never do it on our own. If you do not remain in me, if you don't continually have fellowship with God and you don't continually have God in that first place, and you don't continually relating to him, then you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. What does that mean? It just simply means this. It just simply means you're not of much use to God. And when something's not of much use, you throw it away. And it causes a withering. It causes a withering in our soul. When we're not really closely relating with the Lord, it causes a withering in the soul. And some of us are like that this morning. There's a withering. There's a withering in the soul. And God says, hey, I want to inject new life. I want to inject new life, spiritual life. I want to fill the very center of your life with my life. I want you to go out and be fruitful. I want you to know the joy of being used by God and bringing forth much fruit. Much fruit and fruit that remains. If you want to twist the lens a little bit and get another focus, if you like, it was Caleb and Joshua. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they left under Moses' guidance or leadership. When they went into the land, they went under Joshua's leadership and guidance. It says this in Numbers 32. Because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, that's the whole nation of Israel he's talking about there. They haven't followed me wholeheartedly. Not one of those who were 20 years old or more when they came out of Egypt, will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. What does that mean? It just simply means this. Caleb and Joshua possessed what God had promised to them. That was their possessions. and for God's people to possess their possessions in God, and that's the very promises of God for us, to enter into the possessions of God, we need to be wholehearted, not half-hearted. Because the half-hearted ones never enter in. They're always on the sidelines. They're always looking in at what somebody else, God is blessing somebody else. They're never there in the middle of it themselves, and the anointing of God is not there on their lives. God wants us to be in the very center of His life, and God wants us to know the very anointing of God and blessing of God upon our lives, and God using us to bless this person or that person, and in whatever way that would mean. But that's the great joy and the great blessing of following the Lord. So He asks us to serve Him with all of our heart. He asks us to serve Him with all of our soul. What does that mean? Well, the soul is basically the place where I choose. It's the place where I choose to do God's will. Even Jesus wrestled with this. As He faced the cross, He cried out, "Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from You. Yet not as I will, but as You will." Jesus had this struggle with God's will. And you have a struggle, and I have a struggle with God's will. But when we choose to love the Lord our God with all of our soul, it means that we will choose God's way no matter how hard that is. No matter how painful that is. We choose to serve Him with all of our soul. But it also means our soul is the seat of our emotions. And our emotions is where we express our love to the Lord. Where we choose to be emotionally involved and engaged with the Lord. See, David danced before the ark. As they were bringing the ark into Jerusalem, he danced before the ark. And some people got really upset with the way he did that. But he danced before the ark. The big question is this, though. Why did David dance before the ark? And don't think too theological about this, because the answer to me is really simple. He danced before the ark because he chose to dance before the ark. He chose to involve himself and express himself emotionally with God. He chose to do that. He chose not to hold back his emotions. He chose to get emotionally involved with the Lord. I'm not suggesting that we should dance or that you should dance. I'm definitely not suggesting that I should dance. But there are ways that we can express our emotion, get emotionally involved with God. For some of you, it may not be necessarily through singing. That's fine. But there will be ways that you can do that. Your emotions, God wants you to let them out and become emotionally engaged with Him. That's what it means to love the Lord with all of your soul. At least I think that it does. All of your mind. What does it mean to love the Lord with all of your mind? Well, the mind is where you think. See, if you want to be a doctor, you train. If you want to think like a doctor, you train for years to think like a doctor, okay? If you want to be an electrician, you train for years to think like an electrician. If you want to be a carpenter, a builder, you train for years to think like a builder. It doesn't come naturally. You actually have to train yourself to think along those lines, whatever lines you choose to think along. And it's the same way with God. If we want to think like God, if we want our mind to be aligned with the Lord and to think God's thoughts and to think God's ways, then we too need to train our mind. And it won't come naturally. We have to deliberately set out to do that. I love the word that Paul gave to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:7, he said, train yourself to be godly. So if you want to be a godly person, you need to train yourself. But that's a choice. See, if I want to love the Lord with all my mind, I have to choose to train my mind. I need to choose that the Word of God will pour through my life and it will pour through my mind. And it will find a resting place in my heart and then pour out of my life. I need to choose that. That won't happen naturally. And the big question from that is simply this. You know, one of the big problems in evangelical churches is that there are big numbers of evangelical, keen evangelical Christians who don't have a regular devotional time. Not to have a regular devotional time is a choice. To have a regular devotional time is a choice. You see, and if we want to say we want to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, then we're faced with a choice. What will it mean for me? What choices will I make? See, the choices that I make today will determine where I am tomorrow. Love the Lord with all your mind. No one else can brainwash us. We have to do that ourselves. Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. How can we do that if we don't know what that means? We have to dig into the Word and discover what it means. Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A mind is renewed as the Word of God gets in there, and it transforms us. It's just like when you come to church, the word of, there's something of the Word that just has an effect on our life. And we need to allow God to do that. All your strength. What does it mean with all of your strength? All of your strength is how we live for God. All of your strength is using how we use our time, how we use our talents, how we use our gifts and our abilities. If we want to love the Lord with all of our strength, it means that we have to choose to find ways to bless others. We have to choose how we can serve and bless other people. We need to be intentional. Intentional about making choices that move us out of our self-centered and selfish lifestyle. See, it's never convenient to serve. It's never convenient to serve. Serving is a choice that I make. How am I going to use my life? You know, I can waste my life. I remember years ago, I heard David Redpath, some of you older ones will know of David Redpath. He told a story about his life, how he had gone far away from the Lord in his life. David Redpath was a man who was greatly respected as a man of God and a wonderful preacher of the Word from Britain somewhere. But he's telling us that he was on a train one day, and he's going down the tracks on this train, and the train was going clickety clack, clickety clack, clickety clack, as trains do. And for him, what the Lord was saying to him was this: clickety clack, clickety clack, clickety clack. Saved soul, wasted life. Saved soul, wasted life. Saved soul, wasted life. You see, and it's possible to have a saved soul and a wasted life if we don't choose to use our gifts and our talents for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's loving the Lord with all of your strength. Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. See, when you sell yourself out for God, and you become hot for God, and you live totally and only for Him, it's not in vain. It affects eternity. It affects eternity, not only for you, but for those around about you. It affects eternity for you and for all those who are around about you. Philippians 3, Paul said this, one thing I do. One thing I do. I've got one goal, one passion, one desire. One thing. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He was just looking forward to that well done, thou good and faithful servant from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think it's probably, arguably, the most important scripture in the whole of the Bible. Jesus seemed to indicate it was pretty important. He said it was the first and greatest commandment. I think as individuals and as a church, we need to take that to heart. And we need to make God's first things our first things. We need to make God's priorities our priorities. God's priority is relationship. God's priority is love for Him. First and foremost, above all other things, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. To give Him the center of our life, to let Him fill our mind, to let Him fill our spirit, to let Him fill our soul, to let Him fill our hands, to let Him fill our feet. There's no other greater commandment in all the world to God. You and I are much more important than our ministry. What we do or what we are is so much more important than what we do for God. What we are is so much more important than what we will ever do for the Lord. One last little thought. The disciples in Acts 6 found their soul was beginning to wither. You can read it yourself. They found that they weren't finding time to really get into the Word. They weren't finding time to really seek the Lord and pray and spend time with Him. Life was beginning to wither around them. And what did they say? They said, it's not right. It's not right. It's not right. And they found a solution. Their solution was to delegate to other people. But the point is this. Oftentimes I find my soul beginning to wither. We've been on holiday for 5 weeks. My soul is pretty withered when I got back, I tell you. I had to make some choices. I had to make some very real choices. So with your life, you have to make some choices. You have to make choices as to how you are going to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. The result of them finding a solution to their problem was that so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and large numbers of priests became obedient to the faith. Why? Because they found, once again, they found relationship. And they majored on relationship. And the word of God multiplied. And the word of God spread. And that's the longing of your heart and the longing of my heart for this church and for our city. The answer is found in relationship. The first and greatest commandment. The first and greatest commandment. There's no other commandment greater than that. I think God is, for some of us, God is speaking to you in a very special way. You're at a crossroads. And God is working in there. This isn't the first time. You've been feeling this for a while. There's that nudge, that sense of God just saying, hey, let's do something a bit differently. This morning, God wants to touch you afresh. And I want to give you the opportunity to come forward and rededicate your life to Christ, whatever you want to call it, to make a stand for the Lord. Draw a line in the sand and say, hey, this is where I stand. And this is the choice I'm making. This is where I'm going to go from here. These are the the things that I'm going to do, and you make a line in the sand, and someone can pray that into your life. It's really important. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. We're going to sing this song. It's very meaningful for me, Jesus, All for Jesus. Just ask the musicians to come forward and we'll sing it together. But it's a song really that expresses to the Lord. It's all for Jesus. There's no halfway. There's no holding back. It's all. It's everything. I'm cutting all my ties. I remember years ago when the Lord spoke to me about this so clearly, I felt like I was like a ship that was leaving a dock, you know, a big ocean liner. And all the lines were off and the ship was ready to go and it was held back by one little line. And there was just a little part of me that didn't want to trust the Lord totally. Can't let that last line go. That was for me what it was. That day I cast it off and found freedom in Christ. And today, for some of us, that's what God is wanting to do. So we're going to sing it together. Invite you to stand, sing together, Jesus, All for Jesus. If you feel God is speaking to you and God is calling you to make a fresh line in the sand, a fresh stand for the Lord, a rededication of your life, I invite you to come forward as we sing, Jesus, All for Jesus.